On behalf of First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac and KFIZ Radio, this is our Lenten service. Ordinarily, these services took place on Wednesday evenings, but in the midst of our time of separation as a result of the coronavirus and the stay-at-home order, we are gathering apart for worship. A couple of announcements that I wanted to share with you coming up in the coming week. For Palm Sunday, if you would like to submit a photo of yourself and your family in palm procession and upload that to the church, we'll be putting those together for our Palm Sunday video on YouTube. You can also pick up palms. They were ordered and have already been delivered. And as long as they last, there's palms available out in front of the church at the door, 1225 4th Street. Maintain social distancing, but get your family together and get us a photo. When you have the photo, you can send it to DZORN, that's DZORN, at FDLPRESBYTERIAN, FDLPresbyterian.com.org. It's .org. For Sunday, we're going to be uploading a YouTube worship video, and you can look for the link on our website, www.fdlpresbyterian.org. And we will continue to offer our Sunday audio podcasts for those who prefer or need to stay with audio only. Those are able to be reached on our website as well. Next week, during Holy Week, we will have a midweek worship service, which will be uploaded on Wednesday. We're going to be doing a virtual Monday-Thursday worship service at 7 o'clock p.m., and the details on how to log on to that worship or call in for it are available on our website. We also email out the information, and if you'd like to be added to our email list, email Pastor Harrison at revjharrison, Rev J. Harrison, at FDLPRESBYTERIAN, FDLPresbyterian.org. Or you can go to the staff page on our website, click on staff members, and send a message that way. Welcome to our worship. We've gathered to be able to prepare our hearts. Take a moment in silence. Prepare yourself for worship. Let's come together and share the love of Christ.
Jesus speaks to us saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Forgetting what lies behind and straining to what lies ahead, we press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus.
Oh, my best thought, my day and my night.
Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, our Redeemer, in our weakness, we have failed to be your messengers of forgiveness and hope. Renew us by your Holy Spirit, that we may follow your commands and proclaim your reign of love through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Who is in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Jesus was born to show us the way to freedom from sin. Jesus taught his disciples and fed those who were hungry. Jesus died for our sins. Friends, come, offer your confession, knowing that through Christ Jesus, we are forgiven. Eternal God, our Judge and Redeemer, we confess that we have sought to hide from you, for we are aware that we have done what is wrong. Loving Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we confess that we have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We have not fed the hungry, cared for the sick and lonely, and we have neglected those who are in bondage. We have failed to forgive others as you have forgiven us. Holy Spirit, our comforter and inspiration, we confess that we have lacked wisdom because we have worried more about unimportant things than about those things which are precious. We have spoken words that ought not to have been said and meditated upon wrongs and hurts that only prolong the pain in our hearts. Holy God, have mercy upon us, heal us, and forgive our sins. Hear the good news. God sent Jesus into the world not to condemn the world, but that we might be saved from our sins. Hold fast with certainty to the truth that God loves and forgives you, and it is Jesus' joy to share that forgiveness with you today. Through Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, without end.
A reading from Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So you could not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.
Please join me in prayer. Holy God, hold us close and enable us to grow in love and compassion for each other. Let your peace be particularly with those who are distant from us, those whom we would like to reach out to in love. And let your love, your grace, and your Holy Spirit gather us close. Remind us of the unity that is in you as well as the love that is shared. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, this is the final week before Holy Week begins, and it functions as a resolution of our Lenten journey ordinarily. I hope you've been able to maintain some Lenten practices or something that has enabled this to be a time of deepening your faith and growing in your relationship with Christ. Everything has been a bit disturbed with the sudden changes of the instructions to maintain distance, to remain at home. And it has made it a little more difficult for us to be consistent in some things, but it certainly has created some opportunities for us to be more mindful of the need to be closer to God and to deepen our faith so that we might have confidence and joy. The theme for this time has been embracing the uncertainty, and we have had a lot of uncertainty to embrace. And as we come to this particular service, we're focusing on the uncertainty of obedience. And that obedience is shown in the Garden of Gethsemane. As we wrap up our Lenten preparation and prepare for moving into Holy Week, we have an opportunity to review what it means to be in a relationship with God that is transforming and renewing, healing and powerful. And obedience comes at the center of that. An amazing thing takes place when we look at the Garden of Gethsemane and the moment when Jesus is praying. We have the Son praying to the Father. And there is this moment when, surprisingly, there is conflict, that the Trinity is not made up of homogeneous, all alike personas, but that there is conflict of the Father and the Father's call to the Son and the Son's desire to avoid what the Father is asking. But within that conflict, there is not separation. As a matter of fact, it's a strange moment when we realize that conflict can actually draw people closer. When two people share the struggle in their hearts and are honest with the pain that they have, and they understand each other's struggle and share it openly, there's a closeness in that moment that is not found when everything is going smoothly and easily. More than that, there is this moment where we see there's a struggle within the Son and the struggle within the Father themselves. Jesus' human and divine elements each have different desires for this moment. The human wants to live. He wants to avoid suffering and pain. The divine wants the fulfillment of the mission that has been worked for Jesus' whole life. The divine wants to offer the gift of salvation to all humanity. And within the Father, there is this ruing of the moment in which the Son will be separate. And at the same time, this desire to be able to bridge the gap, because it's God's love that sent the Son into the world in the first place. There is this moment in which we realize there's inner turmoil and conflict, separation and challenge and closeness and love. And all of them are made more powerful by obedience. Obedience is a term which in many ways has fallen on hard times. We are often thinking that to obey means to give up one's own persona, to let go of one's desires and direction. We even raise the idea of disobedience as being some form of creativity or some form of self-expression. But in truth, Obedience is a gift of putting our relationship above our desires, of putting what is meaningful on a cosmic level above what is wanted on an immediate gratification level. When we obey God, we do so recognizing that this is the way in which our lives are best filled. When the Son is obedient to the Father, it is love in expression. And there is a great gift that God wants to hear us in our challenge, in our struggle, in the moment in which we want more than one thing, because that's the odd point of obedience, is usually we're of two minds. When we're obedient to our diet, we want the immediate gratification of the bag of potato chips or the chocolate. We also want the good health and the results that self-discipline result in. And in the way in which we resolve that conflict, which of our desires we obey, says a lot about who we really are. And so in the Garden of Gethsemane, in this powerful moment, there is this closeness and this separation that so defines Jesus' sacrifice, which brings us the gift of healing. It begs the question what sacrifice we're being asked to make. In the story, we hear about Peter, James, and John being asked to sacrifice remaining awake with Jesus. They were asked to support Jesus in this time of struggle and trial, to provide closeness, to provide friendship. It's an odd thing. It's very seldom that God is in a position that we can minister to God, that the one who healed and cared for and taught is in a position of being open to being loved and nurtured and supported. And sadly, the disciples failed where it would have been so profound if they had succeeded. We can't blame them too horribly. They had just come from the Passover meal. Part of the ritual of the Passover meal is 5 glasses of wine, and there's every reason to believe that they probably imbibed a bit more. It's a meal that's usually a heavy meal, lots of good, rich food, and conversation and laughter. It is over a long period of time. And so with their tummies full and their eyelids droopy, they struggled, but they could not remain awake. Part of it is they really didn't have a clue what was going on. One of the problems with obedience so frequently is that obedience without understanding is at best very hard and often becomes somewhat random. We become obedient more to our need for approval or our need to be the one who's correct, rather than recognizing what we are obeying is that our love and commitment to God is what we're living. The disciples didn't understand that this was the moment of trial for Jesus, that the betrayers were coming, that Judas and the people he was leading would take Jesus away, and that would begin this time of sorrow and suffering. The cost of remaining awake is something that I'm sure the disciples bore heavily upon themselves for quite a time afterwards, with powerful regret. What a horrible moment that they missed the opportunity. Theologian who I really appreciate by the name of Jürgen Moltmann speaks of the significance that we worship the God who was crucified, the one who suffered on behalf of others. We don't worship a God who is about giving people the power to dominate. We don't worship a God who is a self-help program. We worship the God who loves and out of love gives, and in giving is willing to hurt. Real obedience is not about doing what we're told. It's about doing what is right. and particularly when we do what is right for the people who are in need of love around us. Strangely, sometimes the most obedient thing we can do is to say no to someone when we know what is right for them is something beyond what it was that they were planning or hoping to do for themselves. Jürgen Moltmann says that to obey is to love, and to love is going to mean to suffer. The suffering is not an end of itself, but it is a part of the bridge of being able to bring hope, healing, and something fulfilling to others. It's hard to believe that our order to remain at home was issued just over a week ago. In some ways, it seems like we've been doing this for a lot longer than that. It's a small sacrifice. I mean, how often are you asked to help save humanity by sitting on the couch? On the other hand, it means doing what we would prefer not to do, and other times not doing the things that we want to do. Our obedience makes a difference. Through our obedience, we are able to give space for people who would otherwise not necessarily be able to get the medical care they need. It's abstract. It's out of our field of vision. It's a question of obedience to a higher calling that is one we understand intellectually and spiritually rather than that we can see in front of us. That's the thing. Giving in to desires is usually something that is very concrete, understandable, and easy to spot. Real obedience involves being wise, being compassionate. And in true obedience, there's often turmoil. There's the turmoil of working out what we really want and really feel, what's really right and what's really important. And in the greatest of obedience, the cost can be so tremendous, it can even bring end of a life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the philosopher, said that everyone who wants to be alive needs to have a cause for which they are willing to die, although it is best not to have too many of those causes. Dietrich Bonhoeffer himself gave his life to the cause of trying to end World War II through the assassination of Adolf Hitler, and justified that after a huge amount of turmoil and struggle about what faithfulness means and what it means to be true to Christ. Was it true to Christ to take a life? Was it true to Christ to allow somebody who is taking other lives to continue to live? Real obedience leads to turmoil. Turmoil leads to having to work through what we believe. But it's in that space, in that time of struggle, that we are not separated from God, but we come that much closer. And in the same way, we become closer and stronger in our relationship with one another. We don't wish conflict for each other. We don't invite each other to have a struggle of obedience, but we recognize that when it takes place, there is a blessing within it. There is a call to deeper relationship. There is a benefit of coming closer to God. For our Lenten journey, we were embracing the uncertainty today of obedience, of the cost of being disciples. And as we embrace this uncertainty, it takes us on a path. Our prayer is that this path will take each of us closer to God, deeper in our relationship with each other, and more aware, more wise in the way we care for each other. Let your obedience be shown to God as a sign of your love, a sign of your commitment, a sign of the gift of being alive in Christ. Please join me in prayer. Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our guide, open our hearts to you. Enable us to walk with you, particularly in the places where the path is steep, where the terrain is uncertain, and we fear where we may be called to go. teach us the gift of living in wise and thoughtful love, rather than in random reactivity, rather than in emotionalism or self-satisfying self-gratification. Teach us to be your disciples. We realize that that at times will cost us. And like your disciples, Jesus, we know that at times we will fail. But we are grateful that you still draw us near and walk with us. Bless us in this Lenten journey. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. To be more loving in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be to be more holy in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart, in my heart.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and in life everlasting. This has been our midweek worship with First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us. You can learn more about us with our website, FDLPresbyterian.org. We look forward to when we can gather together again, and may the Lord keep you in peace and joy. Thanks be to God. Amen.